as they appear in the Torah. And therefore, you can have a halachic medrash that the first medrash in the chapter belongs to Noshim, and the second one belongs to Nezikim, and the third one belongs to Moed, because it's not following the order that Rebbe established, it's following the order of the psukim in the Torah. So you have, for instance, in the Parsha of Mishpotim, which if you will look at, you will see that the Torah covers a tremendous range of topics, one after another, in an almost unrelated order. So the halachic medrash on Mishpotim will cover all of the six categories in one chapter. Now, the halachic medrashim that we have on Chumash Breishis, there is no halachic medrash, because Chumash Breishis contains almost no mitzvahs. And the mitzvahs that it does contain are discussed later on in the Torah anyway. So therefore, on Chumash Breishis, there's no halachic medrash. On Shmos, the halachic medrash is called the Mechilta. Mem Chof Yud Lamed Tov Aleph Mechilta. We have two different Mechiltas, one ascribed to Rav Shimon ben Yochai and one the regular Mechilta, but it's called Mechilta. The halachic medrash to Vayikra is commonly called Toras Kohanim, the laws regarding the Kohanim. The halachic medrash to Bamidbar is commonly called the Sifra, and to Dvorim it's commonly called the Sifrei or the Sifri, though the names have become interchangeable over the centuries. Those halachic medrashim, again, when taken together with the Mishnah, with the Braisa, with the Tosefta, and the halachic medrash, well, now you've got a pretty clear picture of what Torah Shebaal Peh has to say regarding this subject matter, regarding this verse in the Torah. And that's really what the job of the Gemara is. The job of the Gemara is to assemble these different sources and to blend them together, to reconcile them and make out of them one whole piece. That's the basic tenor. So we have here in the generation of Rebbe and in the generation immediately after him, the development of all of these works. And that is the jumping off point for the Talmud. Yes. It's all the oral tradition from Sinai. Now, when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died, he left as his disciples a collection of some of the greatest men of the people of Israel. And you needed a collection of people such as this because we are talking about a transitional age, a time of transition. And that is always the most difficult time, the most dangerous time, the hardest time. The transition is from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. The transition is from the Tanoim to the Amoroim. The transition really is from an independent Jewish people to a completely subservient, exile, diaspora-oriented Jewish people. And in order to be able to blend the Jewish people and have them not lose their unique qualities, so you needed special leadership. The special leadership, there really are many, many people that we could discuss, but there are five main people who I am going to discuss with you. And these five people are the generation after Rebbe. They lived till about the year 235, 240, and they are the ones that laid the foundations for the Talmud and for the Jewish way of life that we see today. By the way, we'll talk about it later, but there are entire theories about the origin of Ashkenazim and Sephardim, and there are many who say that the Sephardic Jews are basically Jews from Eretz Israel, Jews from the land of Israel, Jews from Jerusalem. The Rambam writes that he has a tradition that his family came to Spain from Jerusalem long before the Moors came to Spain and the Jews crossed then. And the